Diving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. It's Monday. We're scrubbing in.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Good.
3 p.m. Good morning.
Good day.
Good day. How are you feeling?
Rough.
We're at Tanya's house in her home studio, and the air seems to be out. So it's at least not, you have the blackout curtains, so
correct.
The heat is, it's doable.
It's manageable.
But you slept in this last night.
Yeah. I just feel like, you know, like you feel like, I feel like I'm on drugs, but I'm not on drugs.
It's the
Do you know that feeling?
It's when you take a red-eye flight, you don't sleep, you wake up the next day, you're all discombobulated, you feel like maybe you're getting sick, but you just feel your temperature won't regulate.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I know that. I hate it so much. So that's how you feel.
So that's where I'm at.
Why didn't you nap? I told you to nap.
I know. I tried. I'm like the world's worst napper because like when it's daylight, I feel like it's like one of those things where, you know how vampires can't sleep in the day?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a vampire.
I think vampires do sleep in the day.
And oh, yeah. And they only come out. Oh, okay. So what's the opposite of a vampire?
Just a normal human.
Yeah. Oh, well, I have such a hard time sleeping when the sun's out because I feel like I should be like active, you know?
Yeah. See, I need some of that. I could just lay down on my couch. My couch is like the size of like the depth is like a twin size bed. So if I just sit down on my couch and my apartment, my like condo or whatever my place is like pretty dark inside.
So honestly, same. I can make it dark, but the thing that's so annoying is I'll just lay there. So I was just laying for like an hour, not doing anything. So I'm not sleeping and I'm not being productive. So it's like the really bad combo.
No, it's called resting. That's norm. I mean, that's productive in a way.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of those things you tell your kids or you are told when you're a kid when you can't sleep. You're told you're laying there, your eyes are closed, you're resting. That's almost as good as sleeping. And I don't think that's actually true. I think that's just something we say.
I don't think it did anything good to me.
No, I don't think it's as good as sleeping. I just think laying down and not doing anything sometimes is what your body needs. Although I do feel like you actually just need sleep.
Yeah. So if my AC isn't fixed today, I might come spend the night at your place tonight.
Great.
Oh,
you and he can sleep together.
Do you like how I didn't even ask? I was just like, so expect me to.
I'm fine if you want to come stay. To be honest, I wish I had. It's complicated because I have three. My place is technically too big for me because I live alone. I'm like, I signed the lease on my own. My sister,
a singleton, some may say.
He is over, you know, almost, we alternate where we are. But my youngest sister, Hink, is living with me. But my third bedroom used to be like an office, which, let's be real, I didn't really use it as an office. And now I've made it into my workout room. But part of me is like, if I could just have one more bed, I could really have like a...
Oh, I could sleep on that couch, no problem.
Yeah, well, it'll be nice and cool for
you. I would do things in that couch right now.
I don't want you to do anything.
Okay.
Sleep.
Okay.
What you'd come
just
over for.
Cold, comfortable sleep just sounds so delicious. I would just.
How was your weekend?
You know what's funny? It didn't really feel like a weekend, but it was really jam packed in terms of like television to be had. I feel like there were so many Laker games. There were, I know, who am I with like sports now? I was flipping yesterday between the Emmys, like E coverage from the Emmys and football and basketball. I was like, who am I?
See, the basketball thing is so funny to me because it's nothing's more you than like to get really attached to something and make it cute.
Yeah. So what's so funny is I just got Laker koozies, literally just got them from Amazon this morning, and I don't even drink beer. I just like ordered koozies and then like, these little basketball player like cupcake toppers. I don't order cupcakes for games, but I'm going to start because the toppers are so cute.
I know. I'm like, Tanya finds something that most people just enjoy as like a hobby. And Tanya's like, I'm going to make it Tanya version.
Yeah.
I'm going to do anything. She goes, they were playing the Nuggets.
And they're Tanya playing the Nuggets right now.
And she goes, Who has the best fast food nuggets? I was like, are you eating nuggets? You know, I was like, obviously confused. She's like, I'm going to make a cute little
beat the nuggets tray.
That was Seacrest's idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, y'all are really on the same. Y'all are really in sync certain things. But yeah, it's funny because I was always grew up with football on the TV like 24/7, and my dad coached, my brother played, my brother-in-law played, and so it was always like a part of my life. And then once I wasn't watching anyone that was close to me, I never didn't care. And now I find comfort in having a football game on during the football season, just even if it's background noise, it just feels comfortable to me.
Yeah, I wasn't actually watching the football, so when the football was on, I was like working, which is a good balance, because then when I'd flip it to E, I would like actually pay attention. And when the Lakers were on, I was actually paying attention.
Does Red Star have a football team that he roots for?
No, he watches for his fantasy team. I don't really know how that works. Wow. So you watch.
All I want is for Tanya to participate in a fantasy league.
Absolutely.
Football.
No chance. I don't even understand the way he explains it to me. He's like, I'm watching this game because I have this guy on my team. I was like, well, why aren't they on the same team? That sounds counterproductive.
It's basically like this. You have different categories at the Grammys, and you get a point for whoever, if you guess, like you have a person from each category, and if they win that category, you get points.
Uh-huh.
So it's basically like a bunch of different teams, uh-huh, of players from different teams. Uh-huh. And if they do something like get a touchdown or whatever, they get points for that.
What if your team doesn't play? Does every team play every week? Is that the whole thing?
Don't they?
I mean, they have 1 week off, but it doesn't matter for you because you have drafted people from all different teams.
So you have people playing at all times, even if like two of the players from one team aren't playing that week.
I don't even know. Watching him do the draft was fascinating because it was like all on some app, or I don't even know what apparatus they did it on, but it would alert him every like 30, 45 minutes. Cause I guess you pick somebody, then it moves on, and then you pick somebody, then it moves. So like down the thing. So like every 40 minutes it would beep and be like, your turn. I was like, all night. I was like, what is happening? Can't you just pick your people and move on?
I feel like you would have like beginner's luck and end up winning the whole pot of money that goes into the draft beginning.
But I do have to say, I kind of was a little bit concerned with myself over the weekend because I feel like I might have a drinking issue. I drink a lot now.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because I mean, for the longest time, getting you to drink was like a treat. I was like, wow.
And because I don't even like to have, you know how like there's like the legal limit where you can have like point whatever it is to drive, but I don't even do that. So if I have a glass of wine, like I won't drive. So I didn't really drink often because I would drive to dinner. I would like drive places. So it was just, I just didn't drink. Now I'm just at home or at his home. And so I just drink all the time now.
Yeah. Well, it's like a, what's it called? Like a bonding thing, because he likes to drink. Y'all drink like nice wine and make cocktails with your special dinners.
Yeah. But I don't even, it's not even just with him. Like, all, like I drank with you this weekend. I drank with one of my other girlfriends. Like,
yeah, but we had like a cute picnic in the park. So,
right. I'm not getting drunk every time, but still.
I think you're fine. I'll alert you
if you think there's an issue.
Going in a direction.
Okay.
I just think it's been such a big change because you've, like you said, you were so dedicated to your sleep and work and making sure you were like 100%. And now you're like, well, I'm at home.
just at like home.
Get up and go to the other room. Yeah. Well, that picnic was fun.
It was really fun.
So we went to a picnic with Ashley, I, and then her best friend, Lizzie, and we saw this guy who was alone at the park, and he was with his
shirtless
dog.
shirtless
doing like yoga stretches kind of in a corner by himself, and he had this golden retriever who was like running all over the place, and we were like, Lizzie, she's single, and so we were like, you should go introduce yourself. And he was kind of near a trash can. And I never told her this, but there was literally another trash can right behind us. Uh-huh. We made her walk like across the field to go throw away the trash.
No, the best part is it'd be like, hype her up. We were like, okay, this guy's super hot. Like, just go.
He was so far from us. We could not tell if he was hot.
The vibe was hot. Like, the vibe he was giving off was hot. Like, shirtless, yoga poses, great dog, exercising. It was like a major yes for me. So we're like getting her amped up. We're like, I was like, okay, go over there, take the trash out, make eye contact, like spark conversation. Like, let's find out if he's single. So we get her like the courage to finally do it. And she walks over to the trash can and like literally like say the guy's to her left. She is laser focused to the ground on the right of her. Like the opposite of making eye contact. I was like, what was that? She gets back to our blanket. And I was like, what was that? That's not.
That was not the plan we said.
Not how it's done.
Yeah. It was just so funny because her dog was with her too. So there was a natural conversation.
Oh, that's an easy one.
Easy, yeah.
I'm like, oh, hey, like, what's your dog's name? He's so cute, whatever.
And so then everybody goes, Tanya, you're good. Like, Becca's like, Tanya, you used to do this stuff all the time. You go talk to him. And I was like, it's funny because for me, when it's me trying to flirt with somebody, I can do it no problem. I'll walk up to a stranger at a bar and be like, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. Are you single? Like, no problem. But for some reason, for me to do it for somebody else, I was so uncomfortable. Like, I was just like, I don't think I can do it. Walk up to this guy and find out. So guess who steps up to the plate?
That's right. I did. And, well, first of all, I have witnessed Tanya at a bar. We were at Sunset Tower, which is like a really upscale kind of, it's an intimidating bar. Like, you don't, there's celeb, like, major, that's where, like, people have been seen.
Right.
And Tanya, it was me, Allie, and Tanya, and she was, like, on the prowl. And she goes, she sees this guy at a table having dinner with men. Like, all they're all sitting down, these men. And she's like, I'm just going to go over and say, hey, he's hot. Just walks over while they're having dinner, and she goes, oh, this is what
this
she
is
goes.
The best. This is, wait, then hold on. This is a PSA for anybody that wants to, like, start a conversation with a random stranger that they find. This is what we should have done at the park.
Oh, well, we were too far to know. No. We recognized.
I walked up and I go, wait, are you friends with Robert Graham? You look super familiar. And he goes, Robert Graham, maybe, he was like,
yeah, which really threw a wrench in our plan.
Cause he was not at all. And I was like, oh my gosh, I knew you looked familiar. That's so funny. Like, how do you know him? This is like, and that's where we started our conversation. And I guess what? I got the digits.
Yeah. But then we didn't hear, we heard from,
him and he was like, yeah. It was major yikes.
Yeah. But like Tanya had no fear.
Didn't even bat a lash.
I was shocked by her not wanting to go over to the yoga dog guy. So I walk over.
I also was like wet in the pants and like sticky and like, cause like the grass was really wet and I was sopping wet and just like not feeling like.
Yeah. I was also wet in the pants, but I had black pants on. So I was felt safe.
Yeah.
So I go over, she had gone over. She thought her dog had pooped over by these people. So she went to pick it up like a good dog owner does. And she couldn't find, I don't think the dog actually pooped. So she was trying to find the poop and the people were watching her. So she just bent down and picked up a leaf and put it in the dog bag so that she had something in there.
So that she wouldn't get judged. I was like, you know what? I respect it.
So she brings her cover. She's like, I couldn't find poop. So they were watching me. So I just picked up a leaf. So they thought I did my job. So I take the like bag of the leaf and I walk over to the trash can and I kind of just follow the dog to where the guy is sitting. And I was like, oh, what's his name? He's so cute. And so we start talking and I was like, it's so hot. I can't believe you're willingly just sitting in the sun. It's just so hot here right now. And I started, you know, just talking and he was like, where are you from? And blah, blah, blah. We have small talk. And then I go, I know this is awkward, but are you single? And he started laughing and he was like, I am single. He was like, but I'm leaving LA forever on Monday.
Forever.
And I was like, oh, where are you from? And he said Pennsylvania. So I tried my best, but I told him, I was like, well, my friend's actually from the East Coast too. I couldn't tell you where, but I know she's from the East Coast. So it was almost a love connection.
You know what though? If it's meant to be,
they will find
their way back to one another. That's what I always say.
Yeah. But I forgot about that trick of, I do think our, I saw you on Hinge. What was our whole
thing? Oh, yeah. Am I talking to you on Hinge or am I being catfished? I got that done to me. Someone did that to me recently.
Wait,
and you fell for it.
Totally. I was like, oh my gosh, what are they saying? Definitely not me, but like, good luck on Hinge.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this is awkward.
Did I bring this up when we last talked about this, that there was a guy who messaged me and was like, this is the photo that the person I've been in a relationship with, in love with for 2 years, has been using. I just realized it wasn't her, that it's you or something. And they showed me the fake profile and it's someone using my photo.
Yikes. It's a compliment, though.
Pretty dark. Yeah, yeah. It's really nice. But I do feel like that line was a little deceptive, even though I think it was pretty successful.
This Robert Graham one is fantastic. Okay, yeah, I'm going to say that one, because it really is just like a little, it's like not like a lie. It's just like a lie adjacent. And it just really cracks the door open, because it's something that you can laugh about after and be like, I didn't really think you, yeah, you know, and here's the name, Robert Graham. It's very like, it's very sure. just, yeah, it's very generic. And like,
shout out to Robert.
Yeah, shout out to Robert. We love you. But like, drop his name. Are you friends with Robert Graham? You look so familiar. I feel like he like tagged you in some photos.
The funny thing, though, is that Robert Graham is a clothing line, like a men's clothing line. So I think it sounds familiar to men for the reason that it's a clothing line.
When we first started doing the podcast, I saw it in like a catalog, and I think I texted Becca. I was like, is this the same guy?
That's so funny. Oh, yeah. That was a thrill. That was a thrill.
Back
thrill.
In our single life, single days. I don't know if I was single that time, but I was like,
I was on the prowl. Being
on the prowl if I was single. I remember being like, Tanya is wild. Both Allie and I were like, she's just going over this table of men.
Meow, baby. And guess what? I don't lose that wildness just because I'm in a relationship. Let me tell you that.
Oh, you don't?
Nope.
So had you not had wet pants, you would have gone over there.
Oh, no. I'm not like actively flirting with people while I'm in a relationship. I'm just saying.
No, now I was not actively flirting by going over there.
Oh, I thought you meant for myself.
No.
Yeah. Had I not had wet pants, I probably could have sacked it up and done it, but I was just in a dark place with my wet pants bottoms. But I'm saying, like, I'm still wild. I just, like, do it in my relationship. You know what I mean? Like, rawr.
I know. Tanya is wild, you guys.
And I'm just saying, I don't want to lose that wildness, because that's the mojo that keeps the train moving forward. Because if we're not moving forward, I'm moving backwards, and that ain't happening.
You're saying you got to keep the spark alive and keep your prowess.
Exactly. Got to keep a strong wing woman attitude for people that need me and such.
Yikes. Yeah, Tanya's freaking crazy.
That's right.
I remember Red Star and I were talking, and I think he was even surprised by Tanya's sweet demeanor changing drastically in a private setting.
He did, like, the first night that we, like, actually, like, made out, you know? Like, you know when you go on a date and you make out in the car, it's, like, one thing. But then when you, like, make out in a...
on the couch or something.
Yeah, on the couch. It's just, like, a different situation, different vibe. And he did say he was, like, I just did not expect... He's, like, you're just this, like, sweet, innocent little thing. And, yeah. I mean, I still am, but... double entendre.
Oh, what was that again?
It's like a double entendre.
That play on your name? Were you trying to do that? Oh,
how do you pronounce it?
Tanya.
Double entendre is the title of this episode. That's fantastic. You didn't even mean it.
What is it? Why don't you pronounce it double entendre? Entendre?
It's got that weird French R at the end, yeah. Like entendre. But
I don't
not
know
very
how to pronounce
that.
It, so I always just say like double entendre.
Oh, you just say double entendre from now on.
Double entendre. That's right. We actually played, we did like a TBT date night, because I feel like in the beginning of the pandemic, we played cards every single night. We just like cooked and played cards. Mm-hmm. And so we did that this weekend, which was cute.
Got back to the old days.
And played like our old like... mood making music, like,
oh
yeah, shout out Khalid, whoop whoop.
It's interesting because like that first year, like year and a half, where you're just like want to be on top of each other 24/7, you know?
Yeah,
everyone feels that, right?
I think so.
Like in a relationship, everyone feels that initial, what's it called, like honeymoon phase,
spark.
Yeah, where you're just like...
magnets.
Yes.
Like a moth to a flame.
Uh-huh.
burned by the fire.
Yeah, and the goal is to keep that, you know?
How does one do that? Miss by, 2.5 years over here.
By being a prowess.
A prowess!
A woman on the prowl.
A woman on the prowl. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just, you know, you just have to, like, be thoughtful and consistent in making effort.
Yeah. It's interesting because I've never felt sexless, like, in quarantine. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like I always look kind of grungy, like, kind of trollish.
Don't. You always say that, and you always look put together and cute. I don't know why you say that.
I don't know. Like, I just feel like I haven't really... I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not like getting glitz and glam.
No, like the best I've done is put on like a pair of jeans and heels. You know what I mean? Like that's the best I've given myself.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I do like, there is something to it. Like you just kind of, I don't know, like there's certain nights where I'm like, okay, like I'm going to wear like this really cute bra and underwear set tonight.
Yeah.
Be like, whoa. Got some. Then on under some,
what do you call not cosplay, what is it called when you like dress up? Come on, I know y'all know what I'm talking about.
Oh, is it cosplay?
Yeah. Cosplay. Yeah.
Are you talking about like role playing or something?
Yeah,
or?
Role play. That's what I was trying to. Yeah,
that
right.
Doesn't require costumes, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it's an added bonus.
Unfortunately, this weekend was not one of those sexy weekends because I was like really sad. The death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg actually made me like emotional.
Yeah, I mean it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was a weird. I had a weird weekend.
You went through a phase where like you first were learning or watching documentaries on her,
and then I became like obsessed with her,
as you do. And you had like your tote bag.
Oh yeah, I have so much RBG swag. It's like I have like. Totes, I have coffee cups, I have books on her,
yeah,
pins.
It's so interesting because the fact of all the things that she's done for women, and that was so recent that all that stuff even happened that she fought for is
I know, like 50
wild.
Years ago. It's
because
like
I have a bank account under her name.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder, is that why people got married so young? Because like to have anything to themselves, they needed a male?
Probably. It's a great hypotheses, Becca Tilly. Yeah. Double entendre.
How you're saying it, I think the way you look when you're saying it, that's pretty wild.
What did you do this weekend after I saw you?
Oh my God. Well, so 95P and I have been watching this show. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast. It's called Alone. Have I talked about this?
Sounds dark.
It's like reality TV, but it's these people who are trained survivalists, and they put them all separately, like they never see each other. They put all these people literally alone in the wilderness in like the Arctic. So it's freezing. They have to hunt, they have to fish, they have to build shelter. It's just fascinating to see what people are able to do in a situation where they're just
fight or flight,
stay alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would, and they have like, well, and so it's just them. They give them a camera and they just set up the camera. They talk to the camera, but it's edited so well.
Do you know what I would do? I would literally just sit there and like pray. I would just pray.
Yeah. She'd be like, God, please send me food. Yeah. And then he'd be like, can you go fish and maybe there's something there for you?
And I'd be like, no, please, please, God, help me.
But no, there's like bears and wolves. It's so intense. Anyways, you can call in and you can tap out at any point, but whoever lasts the longest gets $500,000. And a lot of these people live this lifestyle even in their regular life. So these people are like amazing. So we've been watching different seasons. There's one season on Netflix if y'all are interested, so you can get started, and then we buy the other seasons because we're so into it.
Oh
so
my gosh,
I know, we're really nerdy.
You guys should watch Schitt's Creek.
Phase in a relationship. Here we are. Oh yeah, I know they won a lot last night, the Emmys.
That's right, they did.
It made me feel interested to watch it, but I also want to watch Away. Oh, I started the Challenger documentary. Has anyone watched that yet?
No,
the
no.
Space shuttle. Mm. It's so sad. Like, I remember hearing about it. It happened like 2 years before I was even born, but just like seeing, you know, other documentaries or people talking about it. And I never thought about their families were just sitting there watching it take off, and it just went into flames, and they're all just like standing there in the audience. So that's what I'm watching right now. I'm really into documentaries and real life things.
Well, I was in high school when that happened, so think about that. That was back in the day when space shuttle launches were a big deal, and they would wheel in a TV for you to all watch it as a class. But I don't think they did for that one, or maybe I missed it. But I remember hearing about it in the hallway and then running into the science lab where everybody was gathered around a TV watching them replay it over and over and
Whoa.
Over and over again.
Science
but yeah,
lab.
That haunted me pretty good.
I was going to say, I mean, that I guess that's kind of similar for us with like 9/11, because that's I just remember the news, the TVs being on. It's weird how our brains do that, because when I think back to that time, my age, I was, you know, seventh grade, so I was 12 or 13. I don't have a ton of crystal clear memories.
You know what's weird? I've been realizing that too, because everybody's talking more about like homeschooling, you know, like even at the picnic and you guys were like, yeah, in fifth grade, you learn about like civil rights. And I'm like, did I just block out school entirely from my memory? Because I have no idea. And like the other day, Sissy was like, yeah, third grade's when you do the missions. And I'm like, who the freak remembers that? Or like the periodic table? I'm like, did I just black out all of my schooling? Because I don't remember anything before college, really.
Wow. But you, that's what I'm saying. Do you have specific, like, do you remember what 9/11 that day?
Yes, I do remember 9/11. But when it comes, oh, hang on one sec. The air conditioning guy's coming, so I'm just going to shut the door.
Okay. But I think our brains associate memory with significant things, whether it's like tragic or, you know, significant in some way. But it's weird because I was thinking about that this year when 9/11 came, that I have these specific memories from certain times in my life that I don't remember anything else.
Yeah, it's weird.
Although I do remember this guy named Josh always played with my hair in that class, and it felt so nice, but probably weird now looking back.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Tanya, you don't remember doing a mission? I feel like every California kid remembers doing the missions in fourth grade.
It's like literally blacked out of my memory.
I have no idea what that is.
I do remember that vibe of sorts, but I couldn't tell you.
It was an assignment. It wasn't a vibe.
What is the mission?
You know the missions, like the big, beautiful, old Spanish churches up and down the California coast?
Yeah.
Early Spanish colonization of California. In California, we would study those missions, and we would have to build one with, like, out of sugar cubes or something.
Wow. No, yeah. I didn't have that.
You didn't
experience.
Have to do that?
No. But I did go to, like, alligator farms and stuff growing up.
Oh,
so
that's
that
way
was
better.
Our field trip.
I'm so jealous.
We went to the La Brea Tar Pits.
What's that?
The places where dinosaurs used to live, I think.
There's dinosaurs, I think,
real?
At the bottom of it.
Oh. I'm going to stop talking while I'm ahead. Double entendre.
I know that we have a special scrubber coming on to chat with us, and we are going to take a break. Our scrubber named Danielle, you've probably seen her work. She does her Instagram is edited by Danny. And she does like sparkles and cute graphics behind the photos. And she's done, I know Tanya and I have both reposted them, so I'm sure you've seen them if you're in the group. But she is having a huge brain surgery, and we just wanted to call and kind of encourage her and lift her up and, you know, give her good vibes going into the surgery. So we're going to have her with us in a moment, but we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Danielle.
Hey, what up, everybody? It's Wells Adams. I have a podcast called The Wells Cast. You might know me from being the bartender in Bachelor in Paradise. No? Winner of Worst Cooks in America Celebrity on Food Network? No? Cool. E-Entertainment Red Carpet Correspondent? Nah? Starting my first radio show when I was 16 years old and been in radio for the past 15 years? Nothing? Engaged to Sarah Hyland from Modern Family? Yeah, that's... Okay, fine. Whatever. I have a podcast called The Wells Cast, where basically we talk to famous and successful people and find out where they came from and how the heck they got so stinking rich. And we got something for everybody. You big into sports? All right, we got you. Rashad Jennings and Victor Oladipo. Are you a music fan? We've gotten the lowdown from Rascal Flatts, Brett Michaels, Lance Bass. You big into reality TV? Chris Harrison, Johnny Bananas. You want to find out more about film and TV stars? Okay. Brian Bumgardner from The Office. Dave Coulier from Full House. Scott Eastwood. It's a great way to see what the blueprint is for success. Listen to the Wells Cast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts these days.
I did a little introduction before we brought you in, but I feel like a lot of our scrubbers probably have seen your work, and a lot of people listening, even if they're not like part of the group, they probably have seen us repost your edits and stuff. But how did that even start? Because it's so cute what you do with photos. Something I would
Thank
never
you.
Think of.
So last year on 4th of July, I had like the worst day ever. Like it was just the weirdest day. And the day after, I'm like, how can I get out of this funk? Like, what do I enjoy doing? Art has always meant so much to me. Like, I work in the music industry, and then I've always just done freelance graphic design just like for fun and everything. And I was always scared to take the leap to show my art like to other people, I guess, because I didn't think anyone would care. And within the first day of me making everything, Tanya reposted me, and I was like literally at breakfast crying. Aww. And I definitely have imposter syndrome for sure, and from everyone, I was just like, oh my god, like I think I'm onto something here.
Yeah, it's really, I always, you know, Tanya does that for so many people without even knowing, you know, she just like reposts because she's like, oh thank you, she's so grateful. And it's like, She's just so...
It's crazy that you said that. It's like that you had imposter syndrome, and me posting it and like people like telling you how talented you were helped that, because it's so wild how like... I don't think I realized when I like talked about it so much that I think the majority of people like suffer from imposter syndrome in a certain like way, shape, or form in their life. Do you know what I mean? Like they don't feel like they're worthy enough for XYZ fill in the blank, whether it's like a job or a love or whatever that may be. And it's really, really interesting.
Right. Yeah. Cause I was like so nervous making the edited by Danny account. Like no one's going to follow me. Like the people I know that I went to school with, they're not going to care. And then just like having them like follow me, and I'm wanting them to make things for their businesses and this and that. And you definitely helped me a lot by reposting. And then Becca, you've reposted me a bunch too, which definitely just the like outpour of people like requesting edits and just like actually liking what I do. I'm like, what? Like people like this.
And so you turned it into a business. Is that what you did?
Yeah. So through you guys like reposting everything, I've had people reach out to me, and then I started freelancing. So I have a few clients in like California, New York.
Oh.
And it's been really cool to help other people. Like it kind of comes second nature to me, social media and graphic design, and then to help other people do that has been really awesome. And it's been amazing. Like it's really helped me in so many ways, like mentally, business wise, and everything. And I really, really appreciate it, guys.
Well, I mean, I feel like a lot of people are in that position of wanting to do something new or do something that they're passionate about and have imposter syndrome or fear of failure or whatever it is. And I feel like this is you're such a great example of people going for it and seeing what can happen if you just kind of do what you love and put it out there.
Exactly. Like just, it's so like, now I look back on it, I'm like, I should have done this years ago. Like I really just thought no one cared or anything. And then seeing like the outpour of everything, I'm just like astonished. Like people care what I do and enjoy my sparkly things.
Enjoy my sparkly things.
So we got your email, and you said that you just found out that you have to get brain surgery next month. Is that like, when are you having the surgery? What's going on?
Okay, so I need to get brain surgery next Wednesday. So not this Wednesday, next Wednesday. So I have this thing called Chiari malformation, which they actually mention it on Grey's when they meet Zola. They thought Zola, but she didn't.
Oh. So is that something that is like you get the surgery and you're okay, or?
So when I first found out a few years ago, they said that I might not have been the best candidate because my only major symptom was vertigo and headaches here and there. So they're like, you know, like you're still young, you're 18. We'll keep an eye out on it. And then last year, like I didn't probably see like in the camera, like my eye like spasms randomly, like a little bit of a twitch, and it kind of makes the like left side of my face like just look not cute. And then they did more MRIs and whatnot this year. And then they're like, you should get it. And as more of a preventative thing, because my neurosurgeon looked at my MRIs and he's like, so you're not in pain? And I'm like, no, why? He's like, if I didn't know you and looked at your scans, I would think you were in a lot more pain than like couldn't live like a day-to-day normal life. Wow. So that scared me.
Yeah. So you're just like, I want to get this done so that it doesn't get worse.
Exactly. It's more of a preventative measure. And like, I don't know anyone else with this problem. I don't know. Like I look up online and there's not like, it's not that it's not common, but I just like don't know anyone else with it. So I'm like, I just want to get this and I have a better shot at like in not progressing.
What other symptoms are there? And by the way, I wouldn't have noticed that half of your face situation if you hadn't pointed it out.
Yeah, me neither.
Same.
Thank you. It gets like, my eye gets like tiny. My major symptoms were vertigo. Like I would feel like I was, you know, when you're on like a spinny ride at like an amusement park, I would feel like that. Like I'd wake up like that and I'd go to bed feeling like that. Ooh. Like it was horrible. Always feeling like I'm going to fall, like just like weird symptoms. And I would be scared to like go to the mall because I'm like, oh my God, what if like, I feel like this and like no one's with me or if I pass out, constant dizziness and lightheadedness, really bad headaches, just like weird, like nerve things. Like sometimes I'll get like numb, like tingling, like my hand or something. It's like very random, but the spasm became one of like the biggest symptoms. And like, I'll just be at work and my face will just like freeze up. And that got me really scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so when you were watching Grey's and they talked about that with Zola, were you like, oh my gosh, this is crazy and no one ever talks about this?
Yeah, no, it was actually like 4 days ago. I've been like rewatching it and I guess I didn't catch it the first time around. And then they're like, Derek said like, oh, she might have Chiari. Like we're going to do like a test for that. And it's, and then he explained it. I'm like, oh my God, like that's me.
I feel so seen.
Yeah, Zola, you're my dad.
Well, have you met your surgeon yet? Does he look like Shepard?
He doesn't, unfortunately. Oh. He's very nice, but Derek would come in handy at this time.
Yeah.
Derek Shepard is there with you in spirit, and so are we, obviously.
Yeah, we are definitely there with you in spirit. Do you know how long the surgery is going to be?
I don't think it's that long. They said
tell us exactly like the day and the time that you're going to be in it so that we can all, everybody that's listening, we can all pray for you during that time.
Thank you. It's next Wednesday, 7:30 a.m. Eastern time. So whatever time
it
is. Wow. And I don't think it's that long. I think I'll just be in the hospital like that day, maybe for a night. But I'm a very positive person, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, I just want to get it over with and feel good. And a lot of people who've had the surgery, who I've like looked up online, the like few that I can find, they're like, I didn't realize till after the surgery how like relieved and like normal I felt. So that's what I'm hoping for, to like be like, wow, this is what normal feels like.
That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah. And I was gonna say, you've been living with it, so you probably won't even know until you're done with the surgery how much it was affecting you, you know.
Exactly. And I'm just excited. Like every day that I don't feel vertigo and I don't feel like sick, I'm so grateful to like, I used to, when I lived on Long Island, I'd see people go on the train to work. And I'm like, I just want to be that girl who can go to work alone on the train to Manhattan and like live that life. And then now that I live that life, I'm like, so grateful. You don't even know.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, you could, I mean, honestly, even just coming on here and talking about it might help someone realize that maybe that's exactly what I was just thinking. I have people in my life who have struggled with vertigo and not knowing where it's coming from. So this might help a lot.
But it's so true. Like, it's like you literally have to be your biggest advocate with like, it's like you could have stopped at your normal doctor when they're like, oh, you're fine. Or like everyone's like, you're fine. But it's like when you know there's something wrong with your body, like you have to keep going until you figure out what it is.
Exactly. I went
so to, I'm proud of you.
thank you. I went to cardiologists, ENT doctors, like everything. And then my doctor's like, you should go to a therapist. I think it's from your anxiety. So I'm like, okay, I definitely have anxiety, but I have a problem. Like, I know. Yeah. And then my therapist said to me, she's like, okay, so they think your anxiety is causing a physical problem. I think your physical problem is giving you that anxiety. And that's why you're scared to go to school. That's why you're scared to go to the mall. That's why you're scared to go to, I had prom coming up. And she really like solidified that I am not going crazy. Like I have a problem. And then the MRI obviously solidified that further. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, you know yourself and don't go until you get those answers. Because my family thought I was going crazy. Like, Danielle, like go to school. If you just don't want to go because prom's coming up and you're nervous. I'm like, no, I love school. Like, I'm such a nerd. And
I feel like I would do that. That's what scares me is I feel like I'd be that dad to Mike. Ah, it's okay. You're all right. Go to school.
Yeah, my dad was like, Dan, like just because you're dizzy, like maybe it feels like you're drunk or something. Like, that's okay. People drink to feel like that. I'm like, Dad, like I'm miserable.
You're like, but I'm not drinking to feel like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 18. And then my dad a few years later had vertigo and he called me. He's like, Dan, I'm so sorry, you felt like this every day. I'm like, yes. Mm. And you made me go to high school.
Oh.
You said it was because I was nervous about prom.
Oh, man. Well, we love you so much. And it's going to be, surgery's going to be amazing. You're going to come out. You're going to be better than ever. And I have literally not like a doubt in my mind. And just know going into it that these people do these surgeries day in and day out. You're in great hands. Mm-hmm. And, just think about everything that's going to come after.
I know, I'm excited. And if anyone has like any other like medical issues or anything, like the whole, like why I love this podcast is like, I always like feel like not alone. It's such a community. And I hope to be for, like that for other people as well, because I don't really have many people to go to for this problem and everything. So just want to be that person for other people.
We should set a time and a day to check in with her again, you, Danielle, because your vibe is perfect for this podcast. So we should check in and see how you're doing in a month or a year or whatever it is.
Oh, month or year. Okay. I was thinking like October
12th. Great, October 12th.
October 12th, okay. I'll put it in my calendar.
Yeah, if you're feeling up for it, obviously.
Yeah. I'll feel up for it.
Okay, perfect.
Well, we're praying for you. We're sending you all the good vibes.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you feel good about your surgeon. You're going to feel amazing after the surgery. And we love you and we support you and wish you the best. Thanks.
Yeah, we love you.
You're the best. Mm-hmm. Mwah. Thanks. Should I go?
Yeah.
All right, all the scrubbers, you heard that. 7:30 on the East Coast, 4:30 if you're on the West Coast. Tanya will be up.
I might be up, not going to lie.
Or just send a
Wednesday the 30th.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're rooting for you, Danielle, and that was it's kind of a big deal to open up about something. It's a very personal thing, so hopefully.
Nothing's going to get her down, though. She's got the best attitude.
Yeah, I agree. I know we have some other emails that we are going to get to. So, Mark, you want to take that away?
This is from Kimberly. I'm going on vacation to Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks in 2 weeks with a guy I dated casually for a few months about 4 years ago. Since we stopped dating, I dated someone for 2 years. And from what I can tell from Facebook, he was engaged until like February of this year. So I feel like he's not in a place where he's ready to date again. Anyway, he messaged me on Match a couple of times back in March. I messaged him back and added him as a friend on Facebook. Since then, we decided to do this trip together. And I specifically said, as friends. Well, yesterday, we matched on Bumble as well. I don't know how to approach this trip. I would be open to dating him if he were at a place where he was ready to date and commit. But I'm afraid he's just hoping to be friends with benefits again or just hook up, and I'm not interested in that. Should I set boundaries before the trip or just see if he makes a move on the trip and say something in the moment if it happens?
Well, I'm confused. Why would we go on a trip as friends?
That's interesting to me. I agree. That is
weird. I don't want to go on any trip with no guy as a friend.
Because she's trying to protect herself of like not moving too fast because he just got out of a relationship.
So she's declaring it as friends to keep him from climbing on top of her.
He he was engaged. So she's saying, like, let's do it as friends and get to know each other again before we are just hooking up.
Well, why go on a trip with him? Go on a trip with somebody else. Let's not waste our time. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, she's open to dating him.
Yeah, she just wants to make sure it's not being...
What?
Too fast. Too much too soon.
Or a friends with benefits situation, like it was 4 years ago.
She wants a relationship.
Then let's not take him on this trip and take some other potential man. There are lots of fish in the sea.
As usual, Tanya's wrong. Becca?
I think you enjoy yourself. You go. As it's usual. Someone you like know. Y'all go have a good time. If things get to that point, you explain where you stand on it and just say, listen, you were engaged a few months ago, potentially going to marry someone. And now we're on a trip together. I don't want to rush. I don't want this to be what it was 4 years ago. I want it, you know, if we're going to be together, I want to actually be together, or we just be friends.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you the guy's perspective on this. He's definitely into you. He definitely wants to go on. He would not be going on a one-on-one trip with you if he was not into you. More than just booty call, in my opinion. So I would go, and I would go with an open mind about everything, but I would just set the boundaries in your head. I would set your boundaries as I'm not going farther than whatever with him, and make sure you stick to that. And then if it comes up, then it comes up then, and you got to stop him, you got to stop him. But I think you're open to whatever might happen on this trip, because I think he's into you, and I think he's over whatever fell apart in February, because that was 7 months ago. And if he was engaged, yeah, okay, that's major, but that's a long time, and I think maybe he's missing you. Maybe he felt like that was a good thing you guys had. I don't know, but I think you're putting a lot of thoughts into his brain that might not be there.
My thing is, like, going on a vacation to the national parks feels pretty, I mean, that's pretty intimate in my opinion.
Agreed.
I wish she was going with, like, a group of friends so that if she really had expectations of
I just, like, I don't know about going on a trip with a guy that, like, I've boinked before. I'm, like, not boinking again.
But she likes him, and I'm telling you, he likes her.
Yeah, I
don't
know.
Does he like her just for a hookup?
I don't think so. I don't think he's going to Yellowstone for a hookup.
Uh-huh.
And Grand Tetons. He's going to two national parks. That's not a hookup. That's he wants to spend a lot of time with you.
That's a romantic,
yes,
naturistic hookup.
Yes.
What guy wouldn't be into that?
I like it. I like this for you. I like this for him. I think this is good.
I think go have fun. Don't overthink it. If it gets to a point where he's making a move, say something, express your feelings. If it stays friendly, great. Great friend trip to the Tetons.
Or just like make out with him a little bit.
I think that's good.
We love a first base situation for a long time.
Just decide in your mind, think of picture that baseball infield. How far do you want to get on that baseball
infield?
Exactly.
Make
sure that's
first.
A hard wall, though, wherever
exactly.
you put it.
Keep him at first for as long as you want, baby. Let me tell you, you can do a lot of living at first base. You can do a lot of living at first base, okay?
Is that true?
Yeah, I lived 4 years of my life around first and second base.
I feel like you lived those days around shortstop.
Where's that?
Between second and third.
Oh, you think so, huh? Maybe a few men in shortstops, but I'd say the majority definitely between first and second base.
All right.
Touching, little heavy petting.
Well, that's second base.
Yeah, that's about as far as it went with a majority.
Okay. Here's Paige. So I started a new job in April amidst this COVID pandemic, which means that I've been 100% remote working from home since the very first day. Last week, my boss called me after I emailed her with some questions about a project she had given me, and I could hear in her voice that she was frustrated with my confusion. As soon as we hung up from our call, she put a one-on-one Zoom meeting on my calendar for the next morning. I couldn't sleep, thinking I was going to get fired or at least yelled at. Well, the next morning, the call went well. She told me her only complaint about me is that I sometimes miss small details because I don't ask enough questions. I was honest with her. I told her, look, I don't want to ask too many questions because I don't want to be annoying and I don't want you guys to think I'm not fit for this position. I felt so much better after talking to her. Until today, I got a message that was not intended for me saying, ugh, Paige has forgotten yet another detail, in quotes. Not sure how much longer she will last.
Oh, no.
So I confronted her, bravo, by the way, and yeah, she apologized, saying it was totally inappropriate. And I responded, telling her, look, I promise I'm working as hard as I possibly can. Then she spent the rest of the day kissing my ass, telling me how wonderful I was doing after every single email I sent. How am I supposed to move on from this?
Let me tell you how you move on, girl. You keep doing your job the best that you can, but you start looking elsewhere. Why not?
Because I don't think her saying that she... I think it, maybe it was like...
This is her superior.
It's her boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if she's like...
If your boss is saying in an email that wasn't intended to me, I don't know how much longer she's going to last. I'm going to have one foot one foot out.
No, I mean, I'm going to be hesitant, but I'm also going to be making sure I'm paying attention to detail, because some jobs, that is part of the... You will have to pay attention
for sure,
to
details, for sure.
Or things are going to go awry. So like... She, I think if anything, it's a wake up call of like, yeah, obviously if you're doing the best you can and you're just like, listen, this is too much for me and I don't think this is a good fit for my personality and hers, then yeah, look elsewhere. But if you think I can step it up a notch and prove her wrong and what she thinks about me, then do that and let her kiss your ass while you're doing it.
Yeah. Look, this is COVID. Jobs aren't a dime a dozen right now. So I think if you got a good, if you got a decent gig, you got to stick with it, especially one that lets you work from home all the time. It's tough, though, working from home all the time, because these resentments build and you can't express them. If you guys were in the office every day together, you wouldn't have this kind of weirdness between you. It would be resolved instantly, or you'd actually maybe have a good relationship with her. So it's too bad. That's an unfortunate element of working from home. But she screwed up, and that's great. When your boss screws up, you can ride that for a long time. I think bury her with questions and emails and make absolutely sure you're dotting every I and crossing every T, because you've got some, you got some leeway now. You got a little bit of while where you can coast, but you don't want to coast. You want to be awesome in this time. And I think this may be a turning point for you guys, and things are going to get better from here.
Yeah, and I also applaud you for calling her out.
Me too.
That's big.
And anxious about it. Like, the fact that you spoke up, I think, gives you an edge of her being a little bit like, you have leverage right now because she's made the mistake, like Mark said, and you confronted her about it. So she's like, she knows you ain't playing. And I would, I mean, if things continue to feel awkward and you're like, you can't get that out of your head, I would confront her about it and say, listen, I know that we talked about this, but I feel like I'm having to be overly.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, like, I understand, like, I definitely think you need to step up your game and be detail-oriented and, like, kick it up a notch, but also I think, like, not having support and encouragement from your boss, like, for me, seeing something like that would really, really be hard for me to, like, you know what I mean? Like, it would really be hard. Like, knowing that my boss felt that way about me would be really, really hard for me to, like, deal with. So, yes, I would definitely step up my game and, like, work as hard as I possibly could, but I would. I mean, I know jobs are not, you know, a dime a dozen. Like, I know it's tough times, but I also would probably start just like putting feelers out, you know, like I'm not saying quit your job and leave, but like put some feelers out.
I wonder if there's somebody else there that can also help you with these quote unquote details you're missing. Like, maybe the person that the boss sent that email to, maybe that could be somebody you could work more closely with who could help you help guide you through these days.
Yeah. I mean, I just have to say, for me, with my competitive personality, it would sting. Like, I would carry that in the back of my head. But then what I would do wrong is that I would not even say anything. And then I would let her realize the mistake that she's made. Mm-hmm, and then I would just be, like, crushing it to prove myself, which I don't know if that's healthy mentally, but that's what I would do. But I think you handled it best by confronting her. And I think now you move forward by being the best that you can, like, focus on the details. And if things continue to be this way where you feel like you can't do anything right, maybe Tanya's right and it's time you move on from this job. But Paige, you're in control. So just feel confident knowing that. I think that's it for today.
That's it for today. I think my air conditioning's getting fixed as we speak.
I do not feel it yet, but hopefully that does come for you because I'm getting the heck out of here.
Love you guys.
Love you. Sending you the best wishes, Danielle, and we love you. We'll see you next week. Bye.